Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning that we can come before you and Lord, just look into your word and just look into how you made us, Lord, and as we have a greater understanding of you, a greater understanding of ourselves and each other, how you work powerfully through us. And we just thank you for that, God, and we just give you honor. I pray this morning you just open each person's heart to receive what you have to say. That truly you are a magnificent God, and you have really made us in such a way, and when we are obedient to what you have to say and show us, you have great things for us. And we just thank you for that, and that we have the word to reveal these things to us. So teach each heart to be open, receive of the Spirit, and I please touch me that I can speak of the Spirit, Lord. And so we just thank you for the time in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, as you know, I'm doing a series on marriage, and it wasn't like a planned out series. This is actually the fourth message, but it's on marriage. But how it just unfolded, I did a message at the end of Malachi, just as rehearsed, is on the day of the Lord, and that's where I focused on. But as I studied it, and it's just the Lord, what I saw in that section. The day of the Lord it's not a good day, by the way. Okay, just in case you see the day of the Lord, it's not go whippy. I mean, it's not that day. But it's a day when the Lord comes back in total judgment and judges this world. Total judgment, all right? And so without getting all the details of that, but what I saw in there, and I looked at, and it was, there was something that the Lord was using to delay the day of the Lord. Now, the Lord tells us specifically, we don't know when it's coming. He tells us, says, don't even look for it. You don't know, like that. But then he does say in this section in Malachi, says, this delays the day of the Lord. And too, the day of the Lord can be, you know, nationwide. It can do in different things where people reject God. He brings a judgment. I mean, the Bible is full of it. But he ultimately will bring a day for the whole world, a judgment. But he said, there's something that delays it. And what delays it, based on Malachi, is the family. It's the family. The family that worships God. Not the nation, the family. The core is the family. The core is not the nation. The core is not the Republican Party. The core is not the Democrat Party. Okay? The core is the family. And so, and then when you see in Scripture, it says that all through Scripture. I mean, it just kind of starts jumping off at you, you know. And so we looked at, that's how, when you see the first message on the marriage, it's entitled Day of the Lord. Okay? Because what delays that is the family given to God. And so in this fourth message, we're going to look, I titled this message, The Power Couple. Okay, The Power Couple. The husband and wife, the power couple. So we're going to look at this as we're continuing to look what God says about the marriage as it relates to him and how he uses the family to impact the world, to delay the judgment of God. Now, on each session, I'm reading these four points, and because they kind of cover what we're talking about. And I mentioned also before, I've been to, the world is totally messing up the family. Okay, I mean, it is overtly, you can just tell that. And everything about the way the world works is to destroy the family. But I've been really upset by what I've seen preachers say. Okay, and how they talk about the man and the wife and the relationship. And I'm thinking, hey, you guys are just going the way of the world. You're sounding good and you're throwing Jesus in there, but you're just going the way of the world. You're stepping out of Scripture. You're stepping out of Scripture. By the way, did you hear what the Pope said? Not that he's my favorite person, but, you know, did you hear what the Pope said? I mean, and when you look at that, you go, whoa, buddy. And you did a lot. You know, based on this message, the Pope did a lot to press the world in the direction of the day of the Lord. Because he said, you know, we won't be open, we won't be kind, and so we will allow homosexual civil unions by the Pope. And this Pope, unlike Christian realm Protestant, we don't have a main speaker, but the Pope does. So it's like, your Catholic friends, I don't know how they can handle this. I mean, this is an anathema. It's absolutely cursed what he did. So I thought, oh my, oh my. Anyway, and he said it, I didn't. I mean, it's like, what are you doing, buddy? What are you doing? So anyway, so this is timely. Let's look at the family. I'm going to read these main 4 points because I think these main 4 points are critical as the foundation to have in our mind as we start each message. Okay, number one, I think I've overhead here. Number one, the family is a world in miniature where life lessons are learned. How did my kids learn that? I don't know, you know, they were in your house. Like, well, I didn't tell them. We kind of hid it. No, you didn't hide nothing. You didn't hide nothing. See, it's like, oh my God. So the family is a world in miniature. What's happening in the world? If the family is a world in miniature where life lessons are learned. Where life lessons are learned. By the way, what are the liberal societies and what does Satan want to do and to destroy the family? Destroy the influence of the family. Destroy your influence on your children. Pervert your influence on your children. See, the key is the kids. Kids. Okay, so the family is a world in miniature where life lessons are learned. Number two. A biblical marriage exalts the woman and demands the leadership by the man. Now, the world is going nuts on the last part of that. They totally, I mean, just watch anything. You want to undercut the leadership of the man in the family and in anything. In anything. And so what they're doing is try to promote the leadership of the woman. But what they're doing that is they're doing away with the leadership of the man. It's destructive. It's destructive. But the point of the marriage, the woman is exalted if you have leadership from the man. The woman will never be exalted if you don't have any leadership from the man. See, I mean, it's just backwards, destructive, backwards, okay? So a biblical marriage exalts a woman and demands leadership by the man. Three, a biblical marriage relationship will teach healthy, lifelong values to the children. The school system won't, the church won't, it's the family. Hopefully, you find a church that will support what you're teaching to your children. You know, my kids are going crazy, and it's Wallace's fault. It just is. You know, it's like, you know, I do the best I can, but, you know, I mean, they're your kids. Really. Okay. So, but you need to know, biblical marriage relationship teaches healthy lifelong values to children, see, to children. Now, and then four, you got to add four, because this is the truth, and this is what's happening, because you share a thing about marriage, and you go, well, about this. What's number four? This is the reason it doesn't work. This is the reason things of God doesn't work. Sin messes up everything. Sin messes up everything. All right? So here we are. We'll start this morning. The power couple. All right. Hey, we're excited about this, right? The power couple. And I'm going to use as a verse to kick off here. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. And remember these 4 points. The title is The Power Couple. And Peter says this. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that, husbands, your prayers may not be hindered. Now that was a kick in the rear, wasn't it? Throw that little phrase into it. It's like, whoa. Now, so when you look at this, it's fascinating, this verse. The term, the woman, here, the literal meaning is the feminine one. Now, what's interesting about, and it's unusual, it's not usually used the place of wife, you know, but here it is, it means the feminine one. So it's talking about the lady and her complete, full character. See, because he just called the lady the feminine one. So he's talking about her makeup, like the things we were talking about before. Her very makeup to her very core in her heart as you look at it. You say, hey, that's my wife. No, just the feminine one. And so there's all sorts of connotations to that. And as he's identifying this in this verse here. Now, this verse is all about point two. It's all about point two. A biblical marriage exalts the woman, the feminine one, okay, and demands leadership by the man. Now, clearly, we know that you can, this applies to physical makeup, you know, 90% all men are taller than women. Men have a 20% greater muscle mass than women. You know, that's just the way it is. I talked about, you know, I go to the gym and you try to work out and you see some of these guys. I mean, some of these guys are massive. I mean, you like that, Bill? And you see they pull these weights up. You know, you can put this thick, you know, you put it, you know, I go down two bars. I go, these guys walk, same thing, go, they go. Put it down here, it's like they're going to move in the house. Wow, wow. It's like, Lordy. And then you see, and there's a few ladies in the gym and can be muscled up. You know, they're muscled up, and you see them working on the things. And I mean, they are muscled up. And you watch them, and they're straining. You know, here's you got this guy, you know, he's going, whoa, and he's moving this thing up. Father, oh, well, and he puts it down, the room shakes like that. And you have the same woman muscled up, you know, a lot of muscle, and she's lifting hers like that. And her thing is like this big. It's big. I mean, it's little, but she's straining like that, and she's building up a certain muscle band. But she don't look like this guy. She just don't. And she's got a lot of muscle, but she's only moving a weight this big. Why? Because men have 20% more muscle mass than women. See, that's just the way it is. So we know that's a truth. We know that's a truth. But also, what's being proclaimed here is that the woman with her fine-tuned, with her fine-tuned sensitivities and relational awareness should be protected and honored, right? Her fine-tuned sensitivities and relational awareness should be protected and honored, all right? Can you see that? Just like in the weights, you know, the different in muscle mass. But there's also the feminine one needs to be protected and honored. Amen? That's what he said. So that you see where God's coming from on this. Now, this includes, now we're thinking marriage, okay? Don't think it's some jerk, you know, at work. Okay, let's be in marriage. This is the in your house, so be careful what you say about them. We're talking in your home. Now, so this understanding would be beneficial to the husband-wife relationship, all right? Understanding the wife's desires, goals, and frustrations. Because it's telling the guy, you need to understand. You know, I always had to go, well, you need to understand me too. You know, no, it's telling you understand. That's what God said. Let's get some leadership going on here. But yeah, I don't want to. You know, it's like, no, suck it up, be a man. The Bible, you know, the Bible does say this often. Suck it up, be a man. Well, actually it just says, be a man. I added suck it up. Okay, but it said, Joshua, be a man. Told Solomon, be a man. See, you like that? And So this is who it's talking to, that you lead to live with your wife in an understanding way. So you're understanding the wife's desires, goals, and frustrations, understanding her strengths and weaknesses in the physical and emotional and spiritual realms. You understand her. The feminine one, meaning the whole being. You see what I'm saying? That's the reason they use the word. See, God uses words for a reason. He really does. You know, every word. And so that's the reason it's important to look at every word. Now, also to do this correctly, it's going to require, you know, to enrich the marriage, what's going to require
is to gain understanding through regular study of God's Word. Because that's where the reality comes. What the world's going to mess things up. Okay, the world's going to mess up. So it's God's Word that gives us understanding here. So that we're looking at God's Word in their regular times of private fellowship with the husband and wife together, where they're together talking about these things. Okay, I mean, it's kind of saying you shouldn't be off talking to God by yourself and then tell your wife what you're thinking she should do. It's not what it's saying here. That's not leadership. And it's certainly not exalting your wife, all right? Because that means you don't care what she thinks. You see what I'm saying? That makes sense? I mean, I'm getting a lot of smiles from ladies. Guys are going like, anyway. Okay? All right. Now, I found this quote from Wayne Grudem, interesting theologian, Wayne Grudem, on this verse. Now, this is what he wrote on this verse. I thought it was fascinating. So, if you don't, again, this is Wayne said this, but I agree with what Wayne said, Wayne Grudem. He said this on 1 Peter 3:7. He said, so, it's interesting how he says it, so concerned is God that Christian husbands live in an understanding and loving way with their wives, that God will interrupt his relationship with the husband by hindering the husband's prayers when they fail to live with their wife in an understanding way. Whoa. I mean, whoa. Now, no Christian husband should presume to think that any spiritual good will be accomplished by his life without effective ministry of prayer. So how do you have an effective ministry of prayer? Live with your wife in an understanding way. I mean, it says this, and he is to live, of course, with his wife with the understanding way and honor her. That's how you have effective prayer life. I mean, that's what it says. That's how you have effective prayer life. So take time, husbands, take time to maintain a good marriage because this is God's will. It's serving God. To take care to have a good marriage is serving God. It's God's will. It's serving God. It is a spiritual activity pleasing in his sight. Understanding your wife, okay? Understanding your wife is a spiritual activity in his sight, pleasing in his sight. I mean, this is a good verse, isn't it? I mean, it's amazing. I have to tell you the story, and it's funny, you know. This is well, you'll think it's funny. One day, it's going to be hard for you to believe this, but one day, Linda and I got in a tiff. Okay, so we're going back and forth pretty good. And so, anyway, I couldn't convince her of her error. And so, anyway, we just kind of walked off steaming. And so we live in a different house, and I had in this corner a rocking chair and with a little light over it, and it's my little God corner, you know. And so I go in there, had my Bible on the desk. I mean, everything was set. Turned on my light, picked up my Bible. I'm just going to spend time with Jesus. You know, well, she's steaming. So I'm reading my Bible. She walks by. She goes, "He ain't listening." it's just like, oh, well. So, but she was right. So anyway, this motivation to work on a relationship, you know. And so, again, what is declaring here? God is declaring here, point two, a biblical marriage exalts the woman and demands leadership from the man. That's what this is saying here. So, what he's telling us that... And again, when you see what Wayne Grudem said here, that is a spiritual activity. is having a good relationship with your wife. That's a spiritual activity that's pleasing to God. It's like a, and I've actually seen this missionary. They're going, you know, to save people in South America, you know. And his wife said, I don't really want to do that. Yes, you'll come along and you'll get on board with Jesus sooner or later. Now, see, his spiritual activity is her, not the folks in South America. It is her. And before God can use you for anything else, you got to take care of the immediate spiritual activity. That's what this is saying. Amen? I'll do it. Amen? I said, like, amen, and somebody's going, you've got to be kidding me. No, it's amen. I mean, it really is. So it's like it's a powerful thing. So husbands, to be able to walk in a spiritual realm and understanding, husbands need to step up, lead, and protect. That's their job. That's their job. And they're leading and protecting. What are they protecting? The female sensitivity. All right? Now, this is in the home. It's not going to happen at work. Not going to happen. At work, ladies, you know, they're going to say, suck it up, babe. Okay, that's what you're going to tell you at work, and you got to do that. But the home's different. The home's different, see? There's a protection of those sensitivities. Now, from a human relational perspective, it's a great benefit. It's a great benefit. Because if you protect the wife's female sensitivity, the more you protect, the safer she feels. And I mean safer she feels. Like, well, I can say anything to him. I can say anything. I'm not worried about it. That's fine. It's fine, you know. If anybody can say anything, it doesn't make any difference because he's going to listen. He's going to pay attention. And the safer she feels, the more open she is. And the more open she is, the more sensitive she is to you. You see? Why? Because you're led and protected, and I'm comfortable here. I can say something stupid. I'm comfortable here. You know? Because he has been directed by God okay, that he needs to understand. You know? So he's not going to say, that's stupid. Get over that. You know? Amen? So you have this picture. He's unfolding this picture here. And so, as we look at this picture that God... Now, this is 1 Peter 3:7. This is what he is saying here. You know, and so when you understand this whole picture, you kind of get a view. This is how God's functioning. And since the family is delaying the wrath of God, then we need to learn how to function as a family, which teaches our children that multiplies it out to the nation. You see? Because Satan's doing his work. He's doing his work. So the church is counter to Satan's work and the world's work. Now, I have a little example. Okay, this is my example. I'm going to put a patent on it. Wally's example. Okay, this is my example. Okay, but in trying to understand this, it's like here's a picture, kind of give us a view. You know, analogies fall down at certain points. But anyway, this is an analogy that helps us to understand a little bit how this husband-wife relationship is supposed to come together and complement one another, okay? And some of you may have heard me do this. I'm going to use the analogy of a battleship and a radar. Some of you heard that? Okay, some of you heard. She's got this battleship, big guns, you know, big iron, right there going, aircraft carrier, where are we going? You know, got the power. And then on these ships, on every one of them, they have this little radar. You know, all of them have it. Now, I'm just going to ask you something. If you were just off the top of your head, pick a gender for one of them. Pick a gender for the battleship. Pick a gender for the radar. What gender is the battleship? What gender is the radar? Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Listen. How did you know that? How... You cheated. That's good. That's a good second answer, but that's good. Okay, how did you know that? How could I say that? And you said, "Battle. What gender is the battleship? What gender is the radar?" You go, Male. Battleship's male. The radar. What gender? Female. How do you know? How do you know that? Because in every part of your being, you know that. Because God put it there. You know a battleship's a male. You know the radar, female. Why? Because that's how we're made. If we weren't made like that, we couldn't figure that out. Are you with me? The world is lying to you, and we're going, oh, wow, gosh, I guess they're, yeah. No, they don't know nothing. The world knows nothing, you see? They don't. And they don't know nothing, and they're trying to teach us their nothing. And we're just going like blind sheep, learning their nothing, when our very makeup is tied to the truth of God. See, they're trying to teach us out of how we are made so we can follow the path of Satan, which destroys the family. The key is the family. And anywhere where you need to know what the battleship and the radar is in the family. Amen? Don't go to work and say, well, I'm going to tell you, my boss, the battleship. They're going to say, you know, it's just, I don't care. Listen, you got a thing to me. Meet it. Cut it. That's life. But in the family, it's different. See? And the core is in the family. Amen? Y'all with me? Now, understand what the world's coming at you. You know? And the world have PhDs. Right? So we need to believe the world, right? Because they have a PhD. No, and I'm not doubting intelligence or study. But what I'm saying, don't be confused by somebody who says they have credentials and are preaching against the Word of God. Don't. They don't know. And when these PhDs stand before God, they go, oh, good grief. That is wrong. You know, it's like that. And so, and you know what? And Jesus tells us what God's going to say to them, if he says anything to them. Okay. With their PhD, they're going to stay. Oh, and Jesus is going to say, you didn't know the scripture and the power of God. See, that's what Jesus said while he was here. And that's what he's going to say when they stand before him. It's too late then. You know, I mean, like I said, if he says anything. But if he says anything, that's what he's. But what about this? You didn't know the scriptures and the power of God. That's your issue. Okay, y'all with me? Now again, I want you to think about it. How did you know the battleship was male? How did you know the radar was female? Because your very makeup tells you that. Amen? It's like that. It's not a big shock. The world's trying to convince you something different. Oh, so anyway, so we'll do this and we'll kind of summarize it here. So we have the battleship, we got the guy, and what does he need? He really is focused on, and these things are not mutually exclusive, but making the point here. The battleship. Focus on facts and goals. What you want me to do and how you want me to get there? Well, good. God bless them, you know. I mean, in a lot of ways, pretty simple. I mean, in a lot of ways, it's pretty simple. Here's the goal, here's how we get there. Okay. But here we got the radar. High sensitivity, unseen things, and it's relational. But I feel like, you feel like taking aspirin, you'll get over it. Right? I don't feel like this is right. You need more sleep. See, you got that. But what's that word? What's that word? I promise you the ladies will use that. I feel like. She may snarl. I feel. But she's going to say that word. Feel. Okay, but what it means, it's like there's something going on and I can't get my arms around it, but there's something going on like that. And then it kind of, well, what? It's unseen. There's nothing there. You're telling me you feel something and there's nothing there. Well, I mean, what am I supposed to do this? There's no goals and facts in that if there's nothing there. You know, it's like, just, you know, you'll get over this. You see, now think relationally. You want to think relationally like that. So the whole point, and then also they're thinking relationally how you're doing together. We need to talk. Why? Why?
We just need to connect. You're not talking. Yeah, we did. We talked yesterday, 4 o'clock. We're talking. You see what I'm saying? She, no, you're not connecting. Didn't I connect yesterday at 4 o'clock? You see the problem? Okay, it's a battleship. Radar are working, okay? And she's dead on, but you just don't see it. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And now I'm thinking relationally. Okay, relationally a lot of times. So the battleship's got this massive firepower. Get the job done. Get her done. However, there are things the battleship can't see. He just can't see it. He can't see it. Now, the radar is the eyes and ears of the mission. The eyes and ears of the mission. The radar is so sensitive, it picks up everything. Now, this is the truth. I had a guy from the Air Force tell me this. The radar picks up everything. It picks up planes, geese, and insects. So, ladies, you're picking up planes, whoa, geese, and insects. You're picking it all up. And you're picking it all up at one time. And the guy sees none of it. None of it. You know, so you're picking up all these things. And as the battleship moves towards its goal, the radar is picking up everything the battleship can't see. Y'all with me? You're together, but you're moving along. He's doing his deal, but you're picking up things he can't see. And you're saying things to him, the battleship, like geese, geese, insects, geese, geese, planes, geese, insects, geese, geese. You know, and he's going, geez. He ain't seen none of it. You know? And then 90% of it, he looks at his insects. He's like, they're not going to kill us. Do I sound like any of y'all's conversations? Is there relational? And nobody fessing up to this one, I can see. But you can see what the dynamic is here. There's one of the truths about in World War II, the United States had radar before the Japanese did. Okay, they never did have radar. Japanese didn't, so it was really a downer for them. But the United States did. They actually had radar. And when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, they had just, you know, I don't know how new it was, but they put radar up in Hawaii. Okay, so they had radar. And so they had, but they hadn't used it a lot. So they're picking up. They got two guys up there. You know, I think there's two of me. You know, a couple of guys from West Texas there, if they're looking at Hawaii, looking at the radar. I don't know if that's true. But it makes the story sound good. So they're looking at him. And so it's Sunday morning, December 7th. They're looking at the radar. They're going, what is all this nonsense? What is this? They did this. They really did. They could look, what is, man, whatever it is, there's a bunch of it. I mean, and they called down to the headquarters. I said, listen, we're picking up stuff on this we never seen before. And the guy goes, don't worry about it. Now, that was December 7th, before poor Homer was born. The radar was working just fine. Nobody listened. Nobody listened. And God's saying, your radar is working just fine. Listen. Amen? I'm getting nods from the ladies. Guys are stoic. They ain't moving. Okay. But see. Now, okay. So that's an application here. You see this application. And so Carlos says, I'm done. I'm out of here. That just fit perfectly. So Lord, that was funny. Okay. Now, so what happens, what you want to do on this, and again, you're making these analogies here, but with all this seemingly, here's a picture of you're having a discussion, okay, and so the radar in this analogy, the radar is picking up all sorts of stuff. You think, well, you pick up, tell me about the planes. I don't want to hear about the insects. I don't hear it. I want enough of this insect stuff, just the planes. And the geese, yeah, they're not going to hurt us. No. And just, you know, so stop being so sensitive. Stop it. Then it gets real quiet. It's not good. Now it's really dangerous. Because you're picking up nothing. And she ain't giving you nothing. Amen. You see what happened?
what did happen for her? Did she all of a sudden become Lynn-sensitive? No, he said, I'm tired of listening to this. Stop. That's how the sensitivity stopped. It wasn't appreciated. See, so what a true smart guy's going to do, he's going to say, she's going to come and say, here's all the insects, geese, geese, insects, planes, geese, insects. Well, let's talk about that. You know? And she's going to tell her, okay, look here. And here's the insects. And you're going, this has nothing to do with anything. Like, it had nothing. I mean, it don't hurt nothing. You know, like that. And then everyone's like, here's the geese. Well, yeah, that's new, but it's not going to impact us. You know, like that. And then, well, here's the plane. Well, that could cause some damage, but you've already discounted her because of all the insects and geese. See? And so it's like, how do you do this? Oh, man, it's so fun to be with you, and you sit down and talk, and she tells you about all these insects. You know, it's like, wow, I can't believe you saw that. I would have never saw that in a million years. Not that it has to do anything with anything, but I would have never saw that in a million years. You know, wow, you're oh, so sensitive. Oh, yeah, let me tell you some more insects. Oh, Lord. All right, and they said, I want to tell you some more, and it's about these geese. Oh, my gosh. They're pretty, but they're not going to hurt us. We're okay. You know, and you're talking, then all of a sudden you get a conversation, and then I see this happening. You say, oh, goodness, here's a plane. This is doing real damage. Well, let's talk about that. But to get to the plane, you had to hear about the insects and the geese. And you built that relationship, and she's pouring her heart out now. She's because you built that relationship, and you listened about the insects. And you'll say, that's good. That's incredible sensitivity. Her sensitivity grows, her acceptance grows, and she gives you more and more. By the way, when you tell her that great you see insects, and that's amazing, she's going to tell you about more insects. Yeah, that's what you wanted, right? You did. You really wanted to hear about more insects. But with that more insects, become a deeper relationship, and from that deeper relationship comes more information that's more pertinent to the situation as the trust is built. You can't separate them. I'm tired of you being so sensitive, you're picking up sensitivity. So you just turn it down. And you turn it down on everything. You don't turn it down on insects. You turn it down on everything. And I'm tired of hearing about all this stuff, planes and geese. And then you turn it down. Planes and geese, you can't even, I mean, you could have a direct hit from an A-bomb. She ain't telling you. You see what I'm saying? But it comes, and so here's the dynamic. You didn't see all this in 1 Peter 3:7, now, did you? Okay, that's, and God is saying this. This is the sensitive. You almost protect her is the more sensitive. The feminine one, that's the reason for that word. The feminine one is more sensitive. The feminine one is more connected to the relationship. Protect that. Protect that. And it's important to protect that because, guys, if you protect that, if you don't protect that, your prayers are going to be hindered. I'm going to answer your prayers. If you're his wife and you're not doing anything, I'm not answering your prayers. You see what I'm saying? I mean, that's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. Now, I'm going to just share something terribly convicting. Now, I just share. Linda and I have gotten in a tiff, one or two, maybe three. you can't count them all. And so that's natural. That's working through things. But worry about it. You know, my wife's off base. I'm tired of dealing with her, just like that. But I want to serve the Lord. Tell me what I can do, and we just serve Jesus until she gets her act together. What does the Bible tell you? Your act's never going to be together until you deal with your wife. That's what it says. And so when you walk up as a couple. Because that's what God says. No, it's a couple. And I want a power couple, and I don't want anybody's prayers hindered. Therefore, their first ministry is to take care of the things with your wife. And again, he puts the onus on the husband. Puts the onus on the husband in this section. Okay, guys, ladies, you aren't scot-free. I mean, don't be just an absolute, you know, crank, okay, right there. But he does put the onus on the guy, doesn't he? You see what I'm saying? So it's right here, and he's telling us, it's like, oh my gosh, to be a power couple, we have to connect. And that means, husband, the guy put the onus on you, understand her sensitivities, what's going on with her, and who she is, and how to hear her. That's what it says. Amen? Fascinating. I think it really is fascinating. Now, I said, let me read it, see if I left over anything out. Anything. No. All right. And so when you look at it and you think about, this is what, by the way, look at this and say, this is what God's doing. God says, okay. And you know where he did it first? His plan first. Adam and Eve. That was his first. He did it first. They messed it up. And it's been messed up ever since. So it gives us the Bible say, this is what I'm trying to do. This is what I'm trying. This is what I did at the beginning, and this is what I'm continuing trying to do. The first couple messed it up. Now here, this is what I'm trying to get you to do, because I want to make you a power couple. You know, not a power guy with Miss Tagalong. No, it's a couple. Power couple. You see what I'm saying? That's his purpose, and that's what he's trying to tell us to do. And so, but it takes, and again, it by definition here, the onus is of the guy. To make that step to hear, learn, and pay attention, if she tells you things you can't see. That's the key. You can't see them. And she's not sure she sees them, but she feels them. A lot of discussion. And that's what you're supposed to do. Now, here's a scenario I've noticed in marriage counseling. This is something whether you know or not, we used, especially when I was at Ruston Bible Church, all sorts of marriage counseling, and so we enjoy it. Linda and I do marriage counseling. And here's kind of the scenarios I've noted. Typically, the wife is the first one to seek marriage counseling. Typically. Well, why? She's the radar. She's picking stuff up unseen. She's trying to tell him. He don't get it. So when I see a woman comes in and says, we'd like to have marriage counseling. I say, okay, so this is what I think. Lady calls me and says, I'd like to do marriage counseling. 90% of all requests for marriage counseling come from the woman. Just what it is. She calls up, hey, Wallace, I'm going to talk about this. Okay, and so I think, well, the radar picked up something he didn't see. And so there's still hope. She's just picking up stuff. Doesn't see, so there's hope. They come in, and the first thing you want to do is get him in, okay? Because he's usually happy she comes to marriage counseling. He's like, just go. I hope you get this thing squared away. I mean, he's happy. You go. I say, good God, I don't know what's going on, but maybe he can help you. I don't know. See, so he's okay with it, because he didn't see himself as a part of the problem. If she'd get right, they'd be happy. Okay, now that's typically what happens, And so I thought, okay, the radar's picked up something. We'll talk about it, and it's salvageable. When a guy calls me up, I think, oh, gracious. He just took a direct hit and is taking on water. He's going down. For him to notice it, it's done. And usually that's the case. I see it. No, you didn't see any. You're sinking. You've been hit and sinking, brother. Okay? You ain't seen nothing. You just take it on water and you want help. And you're way, way late. Now, those can work out, but it's they're a bad, bad shape. But does that make sense? He never paid attention to the water. The plane hit, torpedo hit, ship sinking. We got an issue. Well, yeah, but what are we going to do about it? This is tough stuff right now. So now it can work out, but it's really, really much more difficult. Now, so here we are. I want to wrap it up. So God has given us insight of a power couple, all right? By the way, the battleship's necessary. Can you see a radar out in the middle of the ocean and a rowboat? Okay, oh my God, some of these guys are rowboats, and no radar going to help them. They got to step up, man up, guys, gee whiz, all right? So you it's important to have a guy in tune. The guy's not a negative. We just want the guy to listen. We're not saying he's good at what he does. You're happy that he can go downstairs and chase the burglars out. You're happy about that. That's what he's going to do, you know. But he can see that, you know. So when you think working together, now you're cooperating together, it's like, oh my God, now you have a power couple. You've got this battleship listening to the power of this radar, and all of a sudden, man, they're getting unstoppable now. That's what God intended. See? That's what God intended. Husbands, pay attention to the radar. Proverbs 31, 10 through 12. Listen to this. Proverbs 31, 10 through 12. Husbands, pay attention to the radar. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband, trust in her. A harder. We talk a harder. See, his heart. Trust in her. Gosh, there's so much noise. I'm tired of hearing this. Jeez. No. The heart of her husband. Trust in her, his radar, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm. This is a good radar. Right? Picking up good stuff. Pay attention. Picking up good stuff. She does him good and not harm all the days of his life. It's a power couple. Amen. It's a God. It just says it. It just says it. That's what it's intended to be. Again, you know, I bring up, now this has happened, but it brings up, you know, things like I used the missionary because it was so, happened more than it was. We're going to South America. She's not on board, but she'll get right with God. Good grief. You know, and that's what you think, you know, but this guy's, you know, there's kind of a glow on him, you know, and he's holding up his little miniature cross and, you know, it's like, no, good gosh, this guy's totally out in left field, you know, and then you got to tell him, he didn't believe her, he's sure not going to believe you. You see what I'm saying? But the core here is in the family, the husband and the wife. That's the core, and this is what you're teaching your kids. This is what you're teaching your kids, and you're teaching them by observation. You don't tell them. They observe it. They observe everything. They just lie. So, the battleship is more effective with a sensitive radar. You need both of them. Amen? The battleship is more effective with a sensitive radar. With the radar, with this radar, insight, wisdom, and knowledge are greatly increased. All this information is for your good. You know, you think, she's just trying to sink my boat. No, it's good. He's good. She's trying to give some power to this boat. Together, the husband and wife have divine, together, the husband and wife are a divine, they have divine power couple. Didn't even think of it. Your husband and wife. God looks at you as a divine power couple. That's what he looks at. That's what he intended. That's what I intended. And this couple is indestructible, defeating everything Satan throws at them. They're indestructible. Now, what makes you indestructible? Because you're so great? No, because you've come together too, brought battle, set, and read, and you're hearing what God says. You're hearing what God, and you're doing what God says. You're doing what God says. Amen? That's right here. So, husbands, protect the radar. All right? And all the ladies said, okay, good. You're good. Oh, ladies, good with this. All right? Husbands, protect the radar. Proverbs 18:22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Oh, I wish God would bless me. Look at your wife. He has. Amen? I guess you could say, oh, man, God, you messed up my case. Oh, my gosh. You know? You said, man, she's Sally, give me heck. The Lord, help me. No, I doubt it. I doubt it. See, Psalms 18:22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. I mean, God is answering your prayers. Amen? Amen? Okay, so husbands, it's good not to hinder your prayers. Don't hinder your prayers. Look at Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Now, I'm seeing all the ladies here. You're fearing the Lord. You're to be praised. God said you're to be praised. Why didn't he say to husband, praise him? You know what he said to the husband? Be a man. You know, the Bible says that. And that's important to know. You look at the world and the Bible says, be a man. Joshua, oh, how am I going to be a man? Solomon, be a man. See, the world's not telling us to be a man. The world is not giving us men. The world is now, they're trying to exalt women, you know, but they're doing it by the destruction of men. And God says, be a man. I was watching this, it came to mind, this was 3 or 4 years ago. I was watching a news channel, and there was a group of 5 lady correspondents. And I mean, pretty good, they're conservative, you know, like that. And so just listen. And one of them said, okay, what has happened to the men? Now, this is secular. This is totally secular. They go, where are the men? Where are the men? And I'm pointed a guy in front of the television and spoke into the speaker, you're the issue. Well, you don't have any men. It's your fault. No, it's not our fault. It really is the men, because men don't step up. The thing about men I found about, and this is crazy, but it's almost 100%. You take up, listen, I'm tired of listening. You get over and, you know, let me take care of this. You know what he'll do? Okay. He won't do anything. He won't fight. Have at it, sister. You know, you're building the wall, construction. You got each body's got a wheelbarrow, you know. Lady piles up a pile of bricks and goes on there, and guy gets hit, says, don't you get that? I'll come and get it. He laughs, okay, come back. They'll give her a smoke, a cigarette, and watch you. They don't care. So women kill themselves. Know what you're telling me? Be a man. You take care of me. You. Me? Yes, you. Then the battleship steps up. See? If you tell the battleship, I want to stay at port and put you in mothballs. God, that's cool with me. You know, we'll be in you're taking care of me and be in port and mothballs, and you just do your flipping around picking up information. See, what you do, the battleship is made to fight battles. Be a man. That's what you're supposed to be. Be a man. And you're not hearing this in the world. And when a man is a man, women are exalted. Women are exalted when men are being men. See? And you're the feminine one. You're the sensitive one. You're the one listened to. You're the one paid attention to. And you're the one, when you can speak and sway, he moves to protect and take care of. And God goes, that's the way I wanted it. That's the way I wanted it. Amen? Is the world screwed up or what? Everything it does, it tells you the opposite. And it's teaching your kids that way. And who you're going to have a lot of feminine men, which is an anathema. God calls it anathema. Okay? It's totally counter to how God made us. But that can only happen because men are naturally men. Women are naturally men. They're only screwed up in the home. What you do in the home is everything. Oh, my kid went off to college and they went nuts. It's because you didn't do anything in the home. I'm telling you, you didn't do it in the home. It's in the home. God says it's in the home. Amen. If you don't exalt the home, God won't exalt you. Amen. You see what I'm saying? I mean, I bet you never thought 1 Peter 3:7 was so good. And so encompasses everything. But that's like the Word of God. That's what the Word of God tells us. But as you read from these things in Proverbs, what is it doing? It's exalting the woman. See, it's the Bible is not going, oh, poor guy, poor baby, poor baby. Come on, you can do this. I know it's tough. He didn't know. He said, be a man. Guys, you kind of whimpering. Oh, I don't know how to do this. I give you a hint what to do, ladies. Be a man. You take care of this. You're a job buster. That, I mean, that is actually encouragement to a guy.
It really is. I don't know why we're just wired like that. You take care of it. You know, with me? It's how we were made. And therefore, God said, this is how I spread the gospel. This is how I spread the word. And what bothers me is churches are not teaching this. Churches are not teaching this. It's right here. You can take this message and show it to them. All right, so what we have here, God's intent was to have power couples. But this is the closing. I'm going to read it every message. But the closing is, sin messes up everything. But proper teaching and the baptism of the Holy Spirit will lead God's people to behave like Christ, which will exalt the woman, demand leadership by the man, and will model godliness to your children. Hallelujah. Isn't it simple? God's got his act together. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your greatness. Lord, we thank you for the women. Lord, we thank you for the men. Lord, we thank you how you made us. We thank you, God, for your word that tells us how to live like we're very, how our very makeup tells us. In our heart, we know a man's to be a man. In our heart, we know a woman's to be a woman. And we know Satan is the destroyer, male, female, in the family. His whole intent is to destroy the family. His intent didn't destroy the country. His intent didn't destroy the government. His intent is to destroy the family. Then everything else is destroyed. So, Lord, we call upon you. We rest in you. And thank you for the word that you've given us, and we stand strong in you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.